the kids may walk to kids' church. And we are blessed today by one of the fathers in our congregation. Wade is going to share with us, and Lord has placed upon his heart just the need to help us to grow as a congregation in reaching out, sharing the love of Christ with others. And I want to pray a prayer for the whole Windsor family. About a week or so ago, Greg's older brother passed away, and let's just lift up the whole Windsor family right now. Father, we just lift up the Windsor family. Just help them through this ordeal. Just give them strength and grace. Direct their steps, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the Windsor family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, God. Amen. I really appreciate your prayers, and I really appreciate an opportunity to share, you know, what's on my heart. Weeks ago, I had a real urgency to share about evangelism, and after my brother has died, it really has even more so caused a real sense of urgency. So I just want to bring an encouragement and an exhortation for those who can hear it to, reach out, because, you know, there's lives in the balance. They really are. And, I'm just going to share briefly about my brother. You know, I spent years talking, sometimes pleading through many situations, all kinds of different things. And, sometimes even praying when he was at his worst. And we still don't know why he died. Ironically, like the scripture says, when they were in great distress, then they cried out to the Lord. So, there was a lot of back and forth in the kingdom, and I don't know God's eternal assessment. I wish I did, but I leave that up to God, and God's grace is sufficient for me. And sometimes in seeing, as we reach out to other people, we see the love of God, coming through us. Yeah, because sometimes we don't feel like if somebody's being ornery or somebody's being argumentative, it's like you know that God is still loving them, even though in spite of that. And the scripture says that we were all enemies of God, and so I really see the grace of God in that. And my brother dying like that, and this is like the third time in my life where somebody that I've really spent a lot of time talking to really knew. And, didn't hold back. I mean, like, didn't hold back. The whole council, as the scripture says. There was another time, there was a young man in a congregation I was in the past. And he made a profession of faith. But then he's falling away from the Lord. And, sometimes evangelism is going after people and exhorting them, admonishing them. I said, I've got to get together with him. Called him up on the phone. We get together, and I'm just pleading with him. So look, you've got to repent. It says those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to repent. And so I'm pleading with him, and I know God was reaching out to that young man. And a month later, I'm at a funeral, and I don't know what it is, but it did something in my spirit to see that God. God has us. The scripture says God is making his appeal through us. We're reaching out. There was a lifelong friend that I had. Grew up in the neighborhood, again, many, many, many conversations, all kinds of things. And so the last time I saw him, I go over there, right? And, Greg, I'm not sure about this and all this Bible stuff, and I'm not sure about God and what about this and what about that. But, he's got a book on the table. Somebody sent him a book to be saved, and he's pondering it. And once again, I'm pleading with him, just not holding back. And a couple months later, I'm at a funeral. And it's like thinking, lives are in the balance. And we can... I don't know how it all works, but I know that God uses us to affect things in the eternal way. And it's a wonderful sense when you realize, God is reaching out through us. He's extending grace. And And I really believe that, you know, God wants us as a congregation to step out in a greater way. See, I think there's a lot of potential there, you know, and maybe there's opportunities, you know, that we can step out in. And, you know, he's giving us an expanded facility. And, you know, God has worked things over the years in our congregation, in the life of the church. And we can share that in a greater way so that grace can extend to more and more people. And I believe it all starts with getting a heavenly perspective. You know, it has to start with getting a perspective. How does God see this whole endeavor? You know, and I think the starting point is that we have a mandate from God. God Himself has given us a mandate. He's told us. He's given us direction. We have the authority of heaven. You know, don't let anybody try to, you know, back into a corner or something. No. We have the authority of heaven. And of course, we need to do it with love and gentleness. But we have the authority of heaven. And we have what they need. It's not like, oh, please take this track. No. We have what they need. And you know, we just have to lovingly try to show them, look, this is what you need, even though they don't even realize it. Just like I didn't realize it. And many of us didn't realize it. So, you know, we go forth preaching the gospel. And the amazing thing, I was thinking about this last week. You know, God is making a pardon available. He's, you know, before the great day of judgment, He's making a pardon available to all. He's making an offer available to all. What an incredible thing, you know. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord, He's sending out an offer of mercy to all. And, you know, very few of us realized our condition before God until someone, you know, God uses vessels. He uses human beings usually. Not, you know, I mean, God could use angels. Sometimes He works in visions, but it's usually a person. Amen. Flesh and blood, vessel person, just like you and me. So, you know, we go out. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. Look at Romans 10:18. Actually, Romans 10. And we're familiar with this. It says, how are they to hear without someone preaching? God uses people. How are they to hear? Then it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And it goes on to say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we go out in faith, and we share a seed. We have faith. We're speaking. You know, you can be reconciled to God, and we're speaking faith and in love. And then it says, hearing comes through the word of Christ. And then there's an interesting part of this passage. It says, but I ask, have they not all heard? Indeed they have. You know, the Bible says that every person has heard something. Now, I believe that everybody has heard enough, or God somehow in his ways, it's sufficient. It's sufficient that if they would just take another step. You know, he's quoting Psalm 19. It says, their voice has gone out to all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, the whole creation. They everybody knows deep down inside. And of course, we also know that God's given people a conscience. And I've told people in evangelism many times, look, you know when something's wrong. Come on, you know. I mean, God's put a conscience. And they, no matter how hard people want to get around that, God's placed it because He loves them. Amen. You know? And so the gospel is the power of God to those who can receive it. And it's interesting that, you know, it uses the word feet. And I was pondering this, why the feet? You know? And I thought about, you know, Jesus went out. He walked. And what did He do? What did He do when He walked? Well, He spread the gospel, right? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. And he loved people. And He healed the sick. And he did miracles. And he went out. So God is going forth, as it were. You know, of course, in Christ. But then, as the Father sent me, what did He say? I send you. As the Father sent me, I send you. Now that's an incredible statement. So we can go out as Christ did. And that's, you know, every time I ponder that, then that's a wonderful thing. And I was thinking about how there's an intersection point. Okay, so God in heaven is speaking to mankind, fallen mankind, and there's usually some intersection point. Now, yes, he can speak in a vision and dream, but usually it's a person, a physical person, tangible words. You know, somebody talking, could be a neighbor, coworker, cousin, guy at school, person at the water, whoever. He uses vessels. That's a wonderful thing. So there's an intersection point. God from heaven is heading somebody off, you know, in his love. And he sends a messenger with a message. Flawed vessels that we are sometimes, God uses. And so he's trying, he's pleading with people from heaven in their hearts and minds and all the things that are going on. And I often think back, you know, once again in my own life, and sometimes I like analyze, like, wow, so what was going on? You know, I'm 13 years old, okay, totally bored, sitting around, summer, nothing to do. And so the next door neighbor says, hey, would you like to come to a Bible discussion? Like, yeah, well, I guess nothing else is going on. You know, that was my, you know, it was my response. I said, yeah, sure, I have nothing else. So I go there, me and a bunch of guys. And the only thing that I remember is, you know, we're sitting around and they're passing out these Bibles. And it's the Bible that has these cartoons, sort of a drawing of Jesus. Maybe the Good News Bible or something like that. And the only thing I remember was me and the guys, we start laughing. It's like, oh, isn't this funny? It's like, well, it really wasn't funny, but I couldn't stop laughing. It's like the enemy was just coming over us, you know, and making it look foolish. Because, you know, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But God. So I'm there, but God. And I start, and I was in the middle of laughing. I thought, you know what? Guys, we shouldn't be doing this, man. Guys, we shouldn't be doing this. Something started happening. The guilt, the conscience came in, like, I shouldn't be laughing at the Bible. God, this isn't right. But you know, but it was really hard in that context. And I often wonder, you know, what was that next door neighbor thinking? Just saw us all laughing. That's what he saw us all. And he didn't know. He didn't know what was going on in my heart. So he's like, oh, well, I guess they weren't interested. So we just left and went our way, you know. But God is trying. God's trying to do something, you know. And then, of course, as I said maybe a couple months ago, I'm at a fair, and this young man, 14 years old, starts coming up to us and speaking these words. I'm like, how can he know this stuff? And so he goes out in faith, and I often wonder, what was that 14-year-old young man thinking? He gets up in the morning, and he's going to go up to these people or talk to these strangers. But it's amazing because God used this one point. He made that. Remember that one comment to me? I couldn't shake it. So, you know, the Bible says, you know, God says to Jeremiah, you know, don't let anybody, you know, don't say, look, well, I'm just a youth and I'm just this and I'm just that, because that's what the enemy wants to do. Well, I'm just this and I'm going through troubles and I can't witness and all that kind of stuff. No. Because you could say something has a powerful, those words he said. And of course, it wasn't his words. It's words coming down from heaven, intercepting me. And it made me miserable for about 2 weeks. But that was wonderful. See, that was wonderful that it made me miserable, you know. It's like, that's wonderful. So don't worry, oh no, this person's going to get this. No. You just let God, just let the Lord work. You just be faithful to share, right? And then, of course, you know, high school, you know, God sends somebody to talk to me in high school. You know, because see, the heart of God is that From Genesis to Revelation, he's reaching out. In Genesis, God says, Adam, where are you? He's speaking to a fallen man. Why? Because he wants to redeem, you know. And so God, the Bible says God is working salvation in the midst of the earth. The work of God is, he's called the Savior, the Redeemer, right? Sometimes we take that for granted, but that's who he is. And of course, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It's the work of God. So I'm in high school, you know, and somebody comes up, this girl, hi, do you know anything about being born again? I'm like, we're all just kind of standing around like, yeah. No, and then we're just sort of smirking, you know, me and the other guys. And just sort of sloughing it off. Yeah, well, what about this? I don't know about all that kind of Jesus stuff and this religion stuff and et cetera. You know, so we're all just smirking, you know, and the guys are saying, you know, and the girl walks away and the guy says, well, you know, she is kind of cute, you know, and whatever. So they're just, you know, just. But God, okay. But God. I don't know, maybe it was like 15 minutes later, she'd been handing out these little pieces of paper, right? Little tiny piece of paper, okay? And I see it on the floor of the hallway. And I knew what it was, but I didn't want to pick it up. So 18 years old, and I see it's a Bible tract. And I didn't want to be seen picking it up. There was this great struggle. But I believe, in that moment, God said, you better pick that thing up. You know, God said, you better pick that thing up. So, you know, I bent down, you know, I'm tying my shoes, you know. Okay. I'm still not redeemed now. Pick this thing up. And I'm reading it like, oh my goodness, wow. And it had the same spirit as that young man who said the same kind of things to me. Like, wow, you know. So, you know, and so when I think back, it's like, yeah, so God uses this girl. And then I thought once again, what was her day like? You know, what was she going through in school? And, you know, I heard she had some things going on in her family and troubles. But, you know, but she took a moment to talk to this kid named Greg. Just a little piece of paper, that's all. Just a little invitation, okay? And it changed the course of my life. What's so funny, Andreas? Anyway, let me get a drink of water. So, yeah, so God uses these small things. These small things. So it's an opportunity, you know. And one thing that I'm trying to do in evangelism is to get out of looking at things through, like, natural eyes. Especially with evangelism, you know, because you're dealing with people and all this stuff, and sometimes we feel uncomfortable, and then we make assumptions. And I'm just learning, don't make any assumptions about what we think is going on. You know, you just show the love of God, and you just keep stepping out. And I want to focus on 2 Corinthians 3, where it speaks about God making His appeal through us. Okay, it says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, see, it's by the mercy of God we have this ministry. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. On to verse 5. With ourselves as your servants, not that we are sufficient in ourselves or claim to be anything that's coming from us. It's not from us. Okay, we're just giving a message. And but our sufficiency is of God. There's another verse that says our competency is from God, who's made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Okay? So we are, God's made us competent. If you've been changed, you are competent. It's not a matter of understanding, and all, as we shall see later, but if something's happened to you, you're been made competent. Why? Because you've had an experience. God's done something. It's not just theoretical. No, something's happened. And so the appeal is not of ourselves. And what I'm trying to do is to take myself out of the equation. We're just messengers, you know, like just handing a message, you know, like a postal worker. You know, you just, oh, got a letter here. There's something very important message is coming. And you can evangelize even if you don't have a lot of understanding. Let me give you an example. Bob mentioned that the words of that song, Amazing Grace, that's what I wrote down. It says, I once was blind, but now I see. Quiz, where's the chapter and verse that came from? And then I'll tell you why. Does anybody know where that phrase, I once was blind, but now I see? Yeah. Okay. Well, the story is, in John chapter 9, there's a blind man. And he gets healed. And anyway, some people didn't like that, so they bring him before the authorities, and they say, well, you know, tell us what happened here. You know, what's going on here? He says, and the guy says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. This one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
And that's where the phrase comes from. But that's from a person, he didn't even really know who Jesus really was. I mean, he knew just a little bit. He knew enough. And then later on, what's amazing is it says Jesus sought him out, you see, and then, you know, tell me. And the man said, tell me that I may believe. So it's not a matter of understanding. It's just that, you know, you can know enough to you've had an experience. When I finally became a Christian, I like to say I prayed the sinner's prayer at 3 o'clock, and around 7 o'clock I'd say, hey, do you want to come out witnessing? It's like, well, what's that? I said, oh, come on, it's going to be really good. Yeah, come on. So I went out. I was in a church steeped in evangelism. I mean, just every day. And we kind of went to some extremes, but it was really good. You know, God used that. And then I started, you know, chiming in. And, you know, the scripture exhorts us. It says, stand firm in the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. And one of the armors, it says, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. It's one of the armors of God. It's part of the whole thing. And I believe it's an offensive, it's like the sword of the Spirit. The feet of the gospel, it's offensive, but it's in a different way. It's like God is, you know, the Lord's going forth.
Amen.
And the gospel goes forth and people submit to his rule and reign because of love. Not a sword, you know, but
Amen.
They're submitting. And so the feet, it's part of the armor of God. It's an offensive weapon, and I believe it has supernatural power.
Amen.
You know, when you speak the word of God to people, it's like, you know, this person was sharing the gospel with me. I couldn't shake it. I just hear these words, and it's powerful. Okay? So don't neglect the equipment, you know. And it says the readiness of the gospel of peace. As we know, there's a scripture that says, you know, always be ready to share. Always be ready. And it says always be ready. You know, opportunities come in inopportune times, or so we think. Always be ready. You know, one time, this is about 9:30 at night, and my wife's familiar with this. You know, we get a knock on our door. I'm like, oh man, you don't come at 9:30. It's late, and I'm tired, and oh man, and you know, and so I didn't have a good attitude. So I go to the door, and somebody wants a drink of water. The water had turned off next door, Phil. And it's like, okay, you know. So I talked a little bit. Got a little background, you know. Then when it came the second time, maybe like 1 or 2 days later, I thought, you know what? I felt the tap from the Lord. So, you know what? To reach out. I could tell there was something. He was troubled. You know, I just, you know, I didn't know the Lord. So I said, hey, we have these Bible discussions. why don't you come and we can talk about the Bible? He says, yeah, sure, that sounds good. So he came, and long story short, he gave his life to the Lord. And just a simple thing of giving water, and talking and reaching out, and God did the work. But that changes the whole course. Just stepping out in faith to do that. And so God's giving us opportunities. And in life, what I'm trying to look at it is, sometimes we can view evangelism as, this new extra thing I got to do. But just, as God brings opportunities, the coworker, the person who's sick. Betty was sharing like a couple months ago, her husband was really sick. And people from this church went and just loved them. And she said that really affected her. And that's part of, sharing the gospel. There's many facets. And so God uses that. Just sharing the love of God. Yeah, many and various ways. A coworker, your cousin, the guy at the store, something like that. So God brings these opportunities. And it's a beautiful thing. So, it's important to realize that these moments can have a powerful effect. And if I can have the mindset that God is allowing us to participate in His great work, the most important thing going on this earth, that's the most important work going on, is reaching out to save people. Because there is a day when all shall give account. And God is changing people and restoring people and blessing people. And so we can take part in this work. And it's a wonderful thing. And you know what? Even if you're rejected, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Getting back to high school. One of the first times I started sharing the gospel, so I'd go in the hallways. So I did the same thing that surprise, surprise, I started talking to people. And this one day, this guy goes like, "Man, I'm tired of hearing you tell me what to do." I said, "Roger, I'm not saying anything. Roger, I'm just trying to share the good news with you. God's done something with me." "Yeah, well, I'm tired of hearing you." And then people started throwing things at me. And the one guy says, "Hit him," and it's like, wow, I was just shocked at the, I never had that happen before, Of course, then I went back to the people in the church. Says, "Oh, that's wonderful, brother. Bless God. You're really blessed. It's wonderful. Bless you. Great reward." But even if, there's going to be times, people are going to reject it. There were some years ago on a job. I remember sharing the gospel with a young man named John, and we talked about the creation. The verse that I just read, his eternal power is visible. And I said, John, can't you see, John? Somebody had to make all this, John. And so I witnessed to him. And one of the last things that I remember him saying, he's walking down the stairs, the job, said, "Oh, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, man." Just rejecting it. But Jesus said, "Blessed are you." Fast forward is about 15 years later. I'm at a church meeting. I was sitting in the front or whatever, and all of a sudden, "Greg!" I'm like, "What? John?" I said, "Yeah, Greg." He said, "Oh man, it's Greg, the words you said, I just couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it." And it's like he said, "Yeah, I gave my life to the Lord," and now he's leading a care group or something, and God's using him to reach out to people, and on it goes. And I was thinking about this the other day, Did you ever think of this, that you could trace back, for most people, you could trace back a lineage all the way back to Christ? Because somebody shared the gospel with me. Well, who shared the gospel with them? Oh, well, that was somebody 10 years earlier. Well, who shared the gospel with them? And of course, oftentimes it's many people. It's not just one person. 5 people, 6 people, 7 people. But you can trace it all the way back to Jesus and the apostles. And someday, this is just a side tangent, I think it's going to be wonderful to just see all these things when it's all revealed.
Amen.
We're going to see. The Bible says there's nothing hidden except to be revealed. Now we know in part. Now there's so many things that are, it's like there's this curtain now that we don't see what's going on with people. But someday the curtain gets all pulled away. And I kind of imagine something. I kind of imagine in heaven that, you know, when all things are made known, there's going to be sort of like instant replays. And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to see that. You know, like when God, you know, like maybe like an angel says, okay, now watch this. Now this person thought this, and this guy was doing this, and then this woman did that. Now watch what's going to happen. And we're all, you know, the whole host of heaven. And all of a sudden, you know, chains are being broken, strongholds in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
You know, the things are going on that nobody could see, or that, you know, somebody that you shared with 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whoever, that we're going to see it, because everything's going to be made known. And I believe it's part of God's work. We're going to see like the whole big picture. And I believe it's going to be wonderful when we see all the different ways in that, you know, we took part in that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I can't wait for that day. And so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, pray. Go before the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, is there somebody? Have you opened up an opportunity? You know, the Bible says, pray that the door will be open. You know that phrase. It's a biblical phrase. Has God put something on my heart to share with somebody, maybe? You know, recently I wrote a letter to a family member who's pretty serious condition. I had to say something, because God crafted an opportunity. It's like, oh, wow, here's the opportunity. So I just wrote a letter, and I'm sure, you know, it's a seed. So we're just, you know, we're sowing those seeds and being sensitive to God's Spirit, because it can really have a tremendous impact. So let's meditate on these things, and I'd just like to pray that the Lord would help us in this endeavor. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have saved us. God, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
God, I pray that, Lord, you've made us confident that you've done a work in our lives, and that, Lord, we have something to share, a good news of a loving God, and to reach out. So I just pray for each of us. Help us, oh God. We need your help. Grant us boldness, Lord. Give us boldness to speak your word and to step out in faith, God, to see you working, Lord, and to focus on you, God, that it's your work, it's your kingdom. May your kingdom come, Lord. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you.